All right, fans, nice to have you back with us on this Saturday evening as we talk some ball with you here. Joined by Alex Pavlovich, of course, a Rookie of the Year many years ago and a big media star, TV star, and radio star, and writing star, and everything else in the Bay Area, NBC Sports Bay Area. Alex, nice to have you with us. How has your week been?
It's good. I think in San Francisco, as I said last week when I talked to you, it's been very shelter-in-place heavy, but seems like this week people are starting to venture outside a little bit more and wear masks. And I made the dreaded Trader Joe's trip today, and the line was about a third of what it was last time. So a little bit closer to normalcy than it was a week ago.
I like it. All right. Very good. Here, we're going to hit 105 this week in Arizona, which brings me to our discussion of last week of possibly playing ball down here in August. My goodness. I don't know how they could. I really don't, unless everything was indoors.
Yeah. You know, we talked about that last week, and you and I have talked about this separately, too, about my concerns about the weather. I think the one thing I saw this week, I mean, not much really happened, but I had heard from somebody else a while ago that maybe Texas was another option because of the two stadiums there and the retractable roofs. And it seemed like that was out there a little bit this week and got some traction as maybe being discussed. So I have been the same way as you. I mean, I don't see how they ask people to be outside in Arizona in the middle of the summer. And a lot of those parks don't really have great lighting. So that would be difficult too. But maybe at some point you get to a point where you have Chase Field and you have the new Rangers Stadium, you have the Astros Stadium, the Marlins Stadium. Maybe there's three or four different sites where they can play two or three games a day and maybe use Salt River Fields and start those games at 7:30 or 8. You know, there's a creative way possibly to get some games in. I don't know what it looks like beyond that, but I think seeing that this week that they're considering Texas as well gave me a tiny bit more hope, just because you could picture a situation where if you have a park like that with a retractable roof, you could play three games a day there pretty easily.
You need a little bit more exposure in terms of stadiums, and I think Texas gives you two more, and that helps a lot. I thought of something crazy this week, and I know it's crazy, and it's just, you know, you sit around thinking of ways to play baseball.
There's nothing crazy right now.
I know, but what if they turned it into, like, the Arizona Fall League? And I know this is crazy, but what if they took four teams and made one team out of it? And took, you know, the top 30 or 35 players, and you cut it down, and so you had less games, but you still got your big players out on the field. Is that too nutty?
No, I've actually heard that from other people as well. Just, you know, this is the time where you call somebody and you talk for 45 minutes about what a weird season could look like. So I think you throw out everything, and one intriguing thing to me about that is I do think at some point you probably run into an issue. I mean, there's 1,200 players in the Players Association, and I think you run into an issue with a certain percentage of them probably who don't feel comfortable with any of these plans. And what do you do with those guys? You just tell them, like, sorry, you're out. I mean, we feel like if they say, like, we don't feel like it's safe to go sit in Arlington for 2 months, I mean, do you tell them you can't play? So I think this maybe has a scenario where, to your idea, I mean, maybe you do make teams out of some of these guys who are a little bit, I don't want to say more willing, but maybe a little bit more open to leaving their families for a few months. I think a lot of younger players, guys who have been in AAA, would maybe be more open to that, to being in a hotel for 3 months, if that's what it came to, than guys who have kids. So, yeah, I think that opens up the possibility for that. And you know, at some point you have to either decide whether you want to try to have any sense of a 2020 season or whether you just want to put a product out there. And if you're just trying to get a baseball product out there, it doesn't matter as much, I guess, about who the teams are. Maybe you just get creative and give fans something to watch. I think you've seen with the NFL draft this week and with the Jordan documentary, if you can find anything that's sports related to put out there, you're going to get huge ratings.
It's true. It made me think of the WBC or something like that.
Yeah.
So, all right, maybe I'm not that crazy. I thought about that this week. Baseball was in the news this week. A couple of things. One, the commissioner finally dealt with the Red Sox. Did anybody get punished here? I mean, it was such a big deal for so long.
The video guy?
Well, yeah, I mean, they took the one guy, the video guy, and said, okay, you can't work in 2021. Get out of here. I mean, that's it?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, I think Giants fans got to know Chad Schaap a little bit. He's with the Dodgers now, but it's basically the equivalent. of you taking Chad Chop and punishing him for something that happened. So, yeah, it, to me, that part was a little bit strange. I think it did sound like there wasn't a whole lot that they could punish him on, but I do think, you know, the issue is going to be, and we'll see what happens when the game returns. I mean, at that point, they could be pretty far from everything we saw in the offseason and how much anger there was in spring training, and certainly the world has changed since all of that. But I do think it was a little bit of, you know, not the biggest punishment, especially with the Red Sox. And if you're trying to set a precedent and you're trying to make sure that nobody tries this again, I don't know that they did that. Now, hopefully nobody tries it again because of kind of all the vitriol that came from players and how much heat the Astros have taken. But I could see a situation 5 years down the line where somebody comes up with something again and goes, hey, the Red Sox didn't really get punished for this, so let's take a risk. And then what's the worst that happens? A couple people got punished and then the organization didn't really get hit too hard. So, yeah, I was a little surprised from that respect that they didn't go hard, just kind of to make sure that nobody tries anything again.
No, come on. They investigated for 6 months. And this is it?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, they also waited. I mean, granted, a lot was going on, but they waited all spring. They waited all of January.
It's crazy.
They weren't close to announcing anything, it didn't seem like, when the sport shut down. So, yeah, it makes you wonder why they waited so long if this was all they had.
Yeah, they fumbled it, in my opinion. The other thing that came out this week, and Manfred invoked a clause in the contracts that said, we have the special clause as of May 1st, we may not have to pay you again. Now, most teams are paying everyone through May 31st. Where do you think this is going as far as coaches, managers, players? Don't they have to kind of make a decision by the end of May? Because according to what's come out of the news, May 31st, the money stops for everybody.
Yeah, you know, this is, I think, going to get ugly. And I also think this is something that I have been keeping a close eye on because, nobody could have predicted this, but I'm very much in the camp of just these huge corporations. I mean, do what you can right now to take care of the people who are struggling. And the Giants, I think, did a nice job at the beginning of making sure that the game day workers were taken care of to some extent and making sure that their employees felt comfortable that they would not have to worry about anything, you know, in April or May. But yeah, if this goes on longer, I think you do get into a question with a lot of teams about what they're going to do this summer. And I really just hope the teams remember that basically every organization in Major League Baseball is worth at least $1 billion. I mean, the Mets were about to sell for $2.5 billion. Before all this happened, and you know, they probably lost a lot of that now, but it really is a ton of money you're talking about here. And when you think about how much a team will spend on, you know, a fifth outfielder, on a relief pitcher, on your fifth starter and free agency, like to imagine teams furloughing employees at this time and cutting back on people who are making $60,000 a year, I think that would really be hard to swallow and really be a bad look for the sport. And I know it's a business and I know that profits are at stake, but these teams have a lot of money. So it really should not be an issue, I don't think, this summer and moving forward. I don't think you should be hearing about anybody being let go. They have ways to get around this. And, you know, the flip side of that too is teams haven't returned money to season ticket holders yet. And I think they're saying that games have been postponed, not canceled. And there are a lot of people, and I'm sure you maybe get calls from some of them or hear from some of them who have spent hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars on tickets, and they don't know when they're going to get that money back or if they will. So it'd be a really bad look, I think, to be holding all that money and at the same time letting people go.
Well, we're going to find out by the end of May, I'll tell you that, according to the contract.
Someone's going to do it. I mean, yeah, someone's for sure going to do it. So
Yeah, we're going to find out, and you're right, it's not going to be pretty. Hey, I was curious, what are you doing podcast-wise? I know during the regular season you do at least one or two a week. What are you doing now while we're waiting?
Yeah, we've ramped it up. I mean, it's been hard during the regular season sometimes, especially on road trips, to keep that schedule. But right now we're doing two a week, and the Giants have been very nice, and they're getting us one player every week. So we had Logan Webb. We have Tyler Rogers coming on Tuesday. A really good interview with Tyler, and somebody who I think is first of all, well-deserved what he got in September and the praise he got this spring. But I think he looked fantastic this spring and really has a big role whenever these guys resume. So that was a fun interview with him. And just more players coming. We've had some analysts on. And one thing I'm going to try to do, and I think you've probably done this, basically everybody we know who covers this team has written a book about him at some point recently. So I'd like to talk to those guys. John Shea wrote about Willie Mays. And I know Chris Half did something with Mike Murphy. So, two a week, the Giants Insider podcast. And we're going to keep that going as long as we can. Hopefully some Giants entertainment for people as they wait for baseball to come back.
No, people want it, and I know that from the reactions we get from your appearance on the show and people listening to our podcast. Everything's archived, and I know it's a lot of fun during the week to be able to click on and listen to these things, so I'm glad you're doing that. Your other column this week, now last week we talked about the worst trades in Giants history. This week you got behind some, which was a lot easier, I'll tell you that. The Giants have made some outstanding trades, and I thought it'd be fun if you could share some of your favorites with the fans tonight.
Yeah, it was interesting going through. I mean, even you look at recent years, the Mike Yastrzemski for Tyler Erb is a fantastic trade, and it did not make the list. And, the Will Smith trade is a really great trade they made. That didn't make the list. They've done really well in that department, and especially when they were building those teams. I mean, you look at 2012, two of the ones that I had on the list were Hunter Pence and Marco Scudero. They got Marco Scudero for Charlie Culberson, which was a very, very minor deal at the time. It was something people didn't really write about. Happened a few days before the trade deadline, and that probably won him a title. We saw what Marco did down the stretch. I think he hit like 360 the rest of the season, and then, of course, hit 500 in the NLCS. So that was on the list. Hunter Pence, obviously a franchise, altering trade that they made. I still remember the night he walked in and introduced himself to Tim Lincecum after a game. It really, I don't think we had any idea where that was going, but that was a huge one. And then, one that was fun for me to research, it was the Christy Mathewson trade that they made, 120 years ago? And just going back and looking at that, and I think it's interesting when you go on Baseball Reference and go to the franchise page and sort Giants franchise history by wins and by strikeouts and by innings, complete games, he leads in basically everything. I mean, he is the best pitcher in franchise history, and obviously it was a long time ago, so it doesn't get talked about as much. But that was a trade where they traded him for Amos Russey, and I think he played three more games after that. So hard to do much better than that one. That was the one I had number one.
Yeah, it's so funny because when I looked at the title, I didn't think of that until you put it out there. And, of course, it's an amazing one. There's so many. I mean, Jason Schmidt, Kirk Reeder.
Yeah.
And then I know I threw
Bob
this
Mann,
one at
JT Snow.
Yeah, and Hackman, Jeff Leonard.
Yeah.
Was a big part of the Giants, too. And, of course, Kevin Mitchell and that trade. So isn't that funny? Maybe this is one of the overlooked parts of the franchise, how well they've done in trades over the years.
Yeah, I think it really is. And you and I talked last week, and we talked ourselves when I was putting together the worst trades, and there weren't that many in the last couple of decades. I mean, they've traded their fair share of Hall of Famers, but that was a long time ago. So I think you look at how they built those teams in the late 90s, and, that doesn't even get to, like, the white flag trade. They did a nice job, and mm-hmm. I think one interesting thing
Jeff
when
Kent,
you go through all the trades, and that one, too, was on the list. It really – they really haven't been burned by trading pitching for the most part. And there have been a few guys. I mean, Ryan Vogelsong, they traded. He came back, and he wasn't really good until he came back. Zach Wheeler was okay. I mean, Luis Castillo is somebody that I'm sure they would like back. But they've traded a lot of pitchers over the last couple of decades. Joe Nathan didn't work out, obviously. But they've traded a lot of guys who you kind of never heard of again. And they put them in these deals, and you go back and look, and maybe the guy was their fifth or sixth best prospect at the time and ended up pitching eight games in the major leagues. So, Brian Sabian, Bobby Evans, those guys did a really nice job of evaluating what they had in-house and who they had in-house. And I think, one thing you can say about Farhan, I think he's gotten the better of most of the deals he's made so far.
Well, it's fun to do it. I had a lot of fun following the column that you did. Anything special coming up this week for you?
Trying to think of more content. I do have some ideas. I don't want to let them out in case some of my fellow beat writers are
Kerry
listening.
Crowley
but
is
yeah,
listening.
I think
we know that.
Carrie Zola's listening. We know Carrie Zola's listening. Yeah, I think we're just trying to, you know, come up with fun things like that. And looking back at the history of the franchise, there's a lot there. So at a time like this, when you don't have baseball, and this is really weird. I've never covered the team like this. I mean, I've been doing this for almost a decade, and there's never really a time like this because you're either in the season or you're evaluating the season that you just had, or you're getting ready for free agency, or you're right in the middle of the off season. Even in January, you're getting ready for spring training. I've never experienced anything like this where there's really nothing going on in terms of actual baseball that you can examine. So it's been fun to go back and look at the history of the franchise.
Yeah, I think it's terrific. I really do. I think you've done a good job with it in this day in baseball history. And I was thinking about it, and we'll end with this one. You know, and for me to look at topics to talk about, I mean, baseball history goes 150 years or whatever, and so much has happened, and it's such a rich sport and tradition and baseball lore that you can find these kind of interesting nuggets along the way, and people enjoy it, and that's what baseball is all about, the connection of generations. So I look forward to seeing what you got cooking this week, and I always appreciate having you on, and I know you're working hard. So stay safe, and I hope Trader Joe's, when we talk next, that you can just walk right in.
They're doing well, and if anybody who listens to you works at one of those places, thank you so much, because really? They're doing an incredible job, and the people there are so nice and so helpful. So it was, you know, they make it as easy as they possibly could in a weird time. So, yeah, hopefully they listen to you and get some entertainment at the end of their day.
Great. Alex, thanks so much. Have a good week. We'll chat with you. Thank you.
You too, Marty.
All right. That is Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area. Working hard. It reminds me of my son, Aaron. Of course, he works at Byright. And as Alex just described those folks, that's what Aaron is doing. Very proud of him. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.